Man, sweet time of worship. Guys, thanks for leading us. So good. I just want to continue right out of that, out of worship, and just as Bentley transitioned us. We're coming out of Easter this last weekend. I would say in a room like this, we probably have, 15 Sunday morning churches represented. So we've all heard 15 probably different Easter messages over this last weekend. But my heart tonight is just, my wife put it beautifully on Sunday night. We were talking about just Easter messages, and we went to a couple services, and Bailey was just like, man, I just want to see Jesus celebrated, like through messages on Easter. Like, I just want to see Jesus celebrated. And so just as we worship for an hour, I just want to talk about the gospel tonight. And I want to talk about the gospel because it's how we celebrate the Lord. We celebrate what he's done. And so we've all heard all these Easter messages, and I'll just summarize them here of just going back and bringing us back to the heart of the gospel tonight. So some of this may not be anything new that you've ever heard, but just allow it to reawaken your heart again. The way that I view the gospel is three different ways, almost like the Trinity. I view it almost as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what I find in my life is that the Lord is emphasizing one of those areas, one of these three kind of ways that I view the gospel at each point in my life. And so a lot of sometimes he'll be emphasizing the way that I relate to the Father, and we'll talk about that, and then the way I relate to the Son, and then sometimes he'll be emphasizing the way I relate to the Holy Spirit. And it's fun to look back at your life and be like, okay, in different seasons, the Lord was emphasizing these different areas. And so I want to look at 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20. I think we got verses up on the screen. But guys, I've never been more convinced that the fastest, best way to be transformed into the image of Christ is beholding the gospel and meditating on the gospel, and that the gospel really is enough to transform us from the inside out. Like, man, counseling is helpful sometimes. Deliverance is helpful. There's so many things. Outside books are helpful. Being in community is helpful, but all those things are secondary to beholding the gospel. And I really believe that the gospel is enough. So 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, that's you and I, he is a new creation. Say new creation. New creation. That's some good response tonight. The old has passed, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Man, we could unpack this verse for weeks and weeks. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. I think it's so important as we look at the gospel, it can be so easy to look at, okay, I've seen it in people's lives, and I've probably fallen into it before, where God is this angry God up there somewhere, and Jesus is the one who has come and reconciled us to the Father, and he's looked at the Father, this Father of wrath, and said, okay, I'll satisfy your wrath. I'll be there in the middle. And yet, we look at this, 2 Corinthians 5:16, it is God who loved the world, the Father who loved the world so much, that who through Christ reconciled us to himself. That it was the heart of the Father to send his Son to reconcile us to himself, and now has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It was the Father's plan, it was the Son's plan, it was the Spirit's plan. There is unity in the Trinity to reconcile you to himself. That's good news tonight. Good news tonight. And through the gospel, through this God that saw us in our brokenness, came to earth, died the most horrible death imaginable, took our sins upon his back, died not only for us, but also as us, and was raised again on the third day, and is coming back one day to make all things right. In this beautiful gospel, we have been invited into a brand new life. And there is so much more to the gospel than simply forgiveness of sin. If the gospel is a house, forgiveness of sin is the door into that house. And so the Lord invites us through forgiveness of sin into life abundantly. And into, these are the three ways that I look at it. I look at it with God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So the fruits of the cross. Number one, the way I view it through the Father's lens. We have been reconciled back into friendship with God, into the Father, through the cross of Christ. We have been reconciled back into friendship with God. For thousands of years, people wanted to know God personally and could not. Only a few people could talk with God. Only a couple people were ever known as friends of God in the Old Testament. And Jesus comes, calls 12 men who were fishermen or tax collectors and says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. He like quadrupled the number of human friends that he had ever had in 3 years. Because God revealed himself in flesh. We get to know God. Like, we just do not have a grid for that. We get to know God personally. We've been reconciled back into friendship with God. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, and now we have been reconciled, meaning brought back, restored back into friendship with God. It says in Hebrews that we can boldly approach the throne of grace, and Jesus taught us to pray our Father. It's both personal and it's a statement of admiration. It's our Father, our leader, our Lord, and yet our close dad, a personal relationship with God. And we no longer have to worry about how the Lord is viewing us. We don't have to question it. It's a done deal. The Lord has dealt with sin once and for all. We now can run boldly to the throne of grace, no matter how you're feeling, no matter what your life looks like, no matter what yesterday looks like, and you can come in through the blood of Jesus and boldly approach the Father. That's amazing. That's amazing, and not something that I live out every day. We can boldly approach the throne of grace. We've been reconciled into friendship with God, and Jesus defined eternal life as this. I swear, it's like a rule. We have to include this in every message on a Thursday night. John 17:3. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is how Jesus defines eternal life. Heaven is only necessary so that eternal life can last for eternity. Heaven is only necessary so that eternal life, knowing God, can last for eternity. Man, last week we prayed, Bailey and I have been praying for some serious breakthrough in some areas in our lives. And on Friday, man, we got blessed by multiple people. We had people give us money. We had people give us Pacer tickets. I'm a big NBA fan. We got to see LeBron James from like the 16th row. Like, he was right there. Could see the sweat on his forehead. It was amazing. And I'm sitting there in these seats. Our kids are so happy. Millie's got her face painted. And I'm thinking, wow, this is so unsatisfying. Because this is a really good thing, and yet I was not created to be satisfied by an NBA game that I love so much. I was created to be satisfied by friendship with God. And man, there's nothing like it. I feel like I've gone through, our family has gone through this season, this refining season over the last 2 years, where I can sit up here in front of you and say with a clear conscience that there is nothing that I believe satisfies me more than friendship with God, than knowing him personally. Nothing will. And as soon as you get what you've been praying for and crying out for, all of a sudden you'll be like, wow, like what I actually was longing for was the Father. So the first fruit of the gospel, first part of the triangle, reconciled back into friendship with God. Wow. Second is, we've been born again into a new identity. Jesus not only died for us, but he died as us. As that first verse in 1 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Paul says to consider yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ. The old has passed away, the new has come. This isn't just a figure of speech. This is what has happened to us. The minute that you said yes to Jesus, you were born again from the inside out. Some sort of incredible spiritual metaphysical event happened where the old you was put up on the cross with Jesus and you received a new nature in that moment. The very core of who you are became holy and righteous and pure and as beautiful as the heart of Jesus. somehow, by the blood of Jesus, you have been born again with a new nature into a new identity. Amen. That means you're no longer a sinner trapped by sin. You have become a saint who is learning how to live the way he was created to live. Amen. Your old identity has been killed. You are brand new. And if I could teach one message to the church in America today, this would probably be it. I remember seeing it was a meme a couple years ago, and it was posted by like a Christian meme page, and it was this picture of, the first picture was like of a really, like a beautiful car, like a Lamborghini, and this picture was like how God sees me, and they're like, oh, it's beautiful, like God says I'm holy and righteous and lovely and, you know, his masterpiece, and then the next picture was how I actually look, and it was like this beat up, like 95 pickup truck, and, you know, it was this joke, like, ah, yeah, we can all relate to that, right? Like, God calls us amazing, and yet, like, look at my life, like, man. And yet, somehow, it hit me in that moment of being on Instagram. Man, the deep revelations of being on Instagram. Of what does this reveal? What this reveals is that we've drawn a line in the sand between God's opinion and what we believe is reality. If God says that I am holy and pure, there is no alternative perspective. You can't say, God sees me as this, but here's what I actually look like. It's God sees me as this, therefore, no matter what I feel, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what my life looks like, this is what's true. I'm looking at a bunch of Lamborghinis right here. Oh, yeah, baby. Y'all look good. Y'all look good. Man, the core of who you are has been made righteous and pure and holy. And the fastest way to live righteous and pure and holy is to believe that you're righteous, pure, and holy. Every time that we teach people how to hear God's voice, the number one step to hearing God's voice is believing that you can hear God's voice. You know how hard it is to teach somebody to hear God's voice that doesn't believe they can hear God's voice? It's like the biggest step. It's just believing it. And sometimes in the kingdom, you believe things before you see them as reality, right? This is the gospel, guys. You've been born again. You've been born again from the inside out. And I'm telling you, whatever you're struggling with today, sin-wise, thought-wise, emotion-wise, there is a truth that is deeper than what you're feeling, that you have the mind of Christ. If you're struggling mentally, you have the mind of Christ. That's the truth. And meditate. That's why God says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So I'm telling you right now, because the core, the deepest part of who you are is made righteous and pure and holy, if you believed all the right things, you would choose God and the right thing every time. So that's why it says be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because the rest of our lives is, okay, we've become saints. Now we get to spend the rest of our lives learning what's true and how to live like saints, like what's actual reality. And so whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking, whatever sin habit, whatever it is, there is a truth that's deeper than your sin, that's deeper than your feeling, that's deeper than your, you know, the spiral of thoughts that you're thinking, that the Lord is inviting you into to believe before you see its reality in front of you. And that's the definition of faith. It's believing the things hoped for even before you see it. And the Lord is inviting you into faith that you are who he says you are. Praise God, it's never been my effort. Colossians 1:22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy, blameless, as you stand before him without a single fault. I think that's the NLT. I think that's a little different translation, but that's what he says about you. Holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Man, doesn't make sense to me a lot of days. But this is the truth that we get to renew our minds with. This is the gospel. I remember walking in, we lived in Greenwood, and I worked at a church down the street, and I was walking into church one morning, and I just thought of the story in the Old Testament where the Ark of the Covenant is being transported back from the Philistines, or David's taking the Ark of the Covenant, and he's going to put it in the center of Jerusalem, and they're celebrating, they're offering sacrifices, and all of a sudden, it loses stability, and this guy reaches out and touches the side of the Ark of the Covenant, and he's killed instantly on the spot. And it's because his sinfulness came in contact with the holiness of God. And I remember walking into just along the street. I remember exactly where I was. And I heard the Lord say specifically, because I was learning a lot about identity and how the Lord sees us in that season. And I heard the Lord say, either I really, really lowered my standards for what can touch my holiness and my presence, because that's what the Ark of the Covenant was. It was his presence. Or I actually have made you holy, because his presence now lives inside of us. And I'm telling you, he didn't lower his standards. He didn't just say, okay, all right, fine, I'm going to reduce my holiness down to being able to be touched by sin. That's not what happened. You could not have the Holy Spirit. You could not be the resting place of God without being made holy and righteous. You can look all through the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit rested on individuals, but he never inhabited them. He always lived in the tabernacle or in the Ark of the Covenant in a space that had been made holy. And in the New Covenant, you've been made holy, and the first thing that happens is the Holy Spirit comes. And God says, finally, I get to make my home where I wanted to make my home. But I'm telling you, if you need proof that you have been made holy, all it takes is to look and say, does God live inside of me? Then I've been made holy. So, and that leads into number three. So the first one, we've been reconciled back into friendship with God. We've been born again with a new identity. Number three, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Guys, really, of the whole New Testament, the Holy Spirit's really the main character. The book of Acts is the story of the Holy Spirit. As we go up to Pentecost, go back through and just circle or highlight every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the book of Acts. And just read through, look at everything that the Holy Spirit does. And that's normal life for living with the Holy Spirit. I love, for those of you here who were here last week when Lee Thomas was talking about, he pointed out, and I love Lee Thomas because he's, you know, conservative. He grew up conservative Baptist, and, you know, Baptists may get a rap that of like, they're not real big Holy Spirit people. And Lee Thomas last week, man, he's just such an amazing guy. We've learned so much from him. He just pointed out, he was like, in the New Testament, whenever somebody became born again, the first thing that they were instructed to do was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every time. Yeah. Were you born again? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And even he brought up, and you know, I wouldn't like bet my life on this, but there's a good case to be made to show that Jesus did no miracles, recorded miracles, before the Holy Spirit filled him at his baptism. And he may have done it before. But we know that Jesus did everything as he was fully God, but he did everything out of his humanity in perfect unity with the Spirit. When Jesus ascends to the Father, he tells his disciples to not go out until they received power from on high, which is the Holy Spirit. He was very clear. Wait and receive the Spirit. Holy Spirit is poured out on the same day on Pentecost, which was already a Jewish holiday. And it was the Jewish holiday of when Moses received the Ten Commandments. The Holy Spirit is the new covenant. It is the new law. I say it. It's Holy Spirit's a person. It is. He is God. He is the law now. And I just want to read through some of these. Scott got the list for me. There we go. Thanks, Scott. The Holy Spirit pours the love of the Father into our hearts. He intercedes for us from the inside out. He opens up our eyes to scriptures. He teaches us what to say. Remember when Jesus said, don't prepare what you're going to say beforehand. The Spirit will give you words to say in the moment. He gives us responses. In Acts 13, he sent Paul and Barnabas. It said that the Holy Spirit set them apart for missions. The Holy Spirit breaks off fear of man. The Holy Spirit gives us the fear of God. The Holy Spirit gives us power to do the same works that Jesus did. The Holy Spirit fills us with His fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and more. Those are not attributes to go after. That is the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That comes from being yielded to the Spirit, not from trying harder. The Holy Spirit fills us with His gifts: prophecy, healing, creative miracles, praying in the Spirit, discernment, words of wisdom, and words of knowledge. Man, when we do all this, like, man, some of us have certain spiritual gifts and some of us have other spiritual gifts. I think we've got it wrong. The Holy Spirit is the gift. And we have the Holy Spirit. He's the one healing. He's the one working. Some of us, you know, lean to one of those. Some of us lean to healings more. Some of us lean to prophecy more. Some of us have, you know, just like any sort of natural gifting. But the Holy Spirit is the gift. And if any of us have the Spirit, any of us has access to any of those gifts. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit gives us hunger for God. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is the down payment, meaning the first taste of eternity. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit leads us into all things. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." That "be filled" is a repeating word. It doesn't say "be filled," you know, once back in 1975. It's "be filled" repeatedly, over and over and over again, with the Spirit. Just like you would go out and get drunk every Friday night. He's saying, instead of going out on Friday night, instead of going out on Thursday night, go be filled with the Spirit. Go to 420. That's what he's saying. I don't know. That's a new translation. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. Be filled over and over again. So look at this. All right, let's just look at Acts, all right? So we're not even going to touch on all the times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned. We're just going to look at when the Holy Spirit is poured out. So John 20, 22. I know I just said Acts, but pit stop at John 20, 22. Jesus is with His disciples. He just walks through a wall. That's incredible. And He says this. When He had said this, He talked to them. He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Okay, so in that moment, the disciples become the temples of the Holy Spirit. He is dwelling, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in them, and yet Jesus ascends and still says, "Go wait in Jerusalem to be filled with the Spirit." Okay, so any of us who have said yes to Jesus, who have given our lives to Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And yet there's an invitation to be filled with Him again and again, more and more. Acts 2, 1 through 4, probably somewhere on. If you're going to church on Sunday morning, you'll be reading this over the next couple weeks, probably. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's a specific encounter with the Lord. Being filled by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't always mean you speak in tongues, but sometimes it does. But there's a specific, the Holy Spirit comes up, He shows up in power, which leads to Peter, who was hiding in a house, who had betrayed Jesus 3 times because of his fear of man. All of a sudden, he becomes the most bold person in the world and starts preaching to 3,000 people in Jerusalem, to the same people that just crucified his leader that he was terrified of. The Holy Spirit breaks fear of man and gives fear of God. And Peter leads them through this great sermon. And at the end, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Why? "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is the first sermon of the New Testament church. And what was the emphasis? Repentance. Realize you killed Jesus, you killed God, turn from your sins, and be filled with the Spirit. This is the message of the church still today. Recognize your sin and be filled with the Spirit. In Acts 4, Peter and John are imprisoned. They're released, and the first thing that they do is they gather together, and this is what they pray. It says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the same name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It was like just two chapters ago that they were just filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled again with the Spirit. It was a regular occurrence. They were filled over and over again with the Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Man, there's so many more stories of the leadership of the Spirit, but these are just when he's poured out. Acts 8, 14 through 17. "Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they may receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So I love this because it gives biblical context to a lot of our experiences, right? I'm going to assume that all of us in here have given our lives to the Lord, and the minute that we do that, we become the dwelling place of God. The Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of us, and yet there's biblical precedence where in Acts 2 or the end of Acts 2, when Peter says, "You will receive the Holy Spirit here," and there's other stories in Acts where they say yes to the Lord, and as soon as they're born again, they receive the Holy Spirit, and they receive gifts that come with it. And yet, here's another example of they were baptized, they were born again, the indwelling of the Spirit, yet they had not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so many of our lives, I love it because it just gives a grid for all of our experiences. Some of you, when you said yes to Jesus, you had a profound encounter with God. And maybe you spoke in tongues right then. Man, I've heard crazy stories of people giving their lives to the Lord in the shower, didn't even know that you speaking in tongues were a thing, and they started speaking in tongues in the shower. I've also heard other people, I just want to be clear, like speaking in tongues is not the sign of salvation. Like we don't believe that. But sometimes, like, it is an evidence, right? And for other people, you're born again, and you've been crying out to be baptized in the Spirit for years, and you haven't seen it. Or you gave your life to the Lord, and yes, he lives inside of you, and yet you haven't had like a power encounter with God where you can look back and say, yes, I met the Holy Spirit in that moment, and you've been praying for it for a long time. There's a grid for both. There's not a right and wrong. God just operates differently depending on different people. And if that's you tonight, like, I want to remove any bit of shame, like any bit of guilt of looking like, oh no, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Like, if I can't look back and say that, like, man, I've been baptized in the Spirit. And so in Acts 8, they had been baptized. They had given their lives to the Lord. So they sent Peter and Paul, because I would assume that these people were like, man, we want the Holy Spirit. Like, we need the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and Paul travel from Jerusalem to Samaria. They lay their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. No, like, manifestations were recorded there. Don't know what it looked like, but it was an encounter. It's a moment. When you're baptized in the Spirit, you know it. Acts 19, this is a fascinating story, the last passage we'll look at. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And in ESV, it doesn't say disciples of Jesus, but it's pretty clear that they were disciples of Jesus. And it said that he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Like, Paul wanted to know, like, this is important. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? This is the gift. This is the down payment of eternity. And they said, "No, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "So into, like, what were you baptized?" Meaning, like, so what did you get, like, by following Jesus? It's like, what were you baptized? They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him." That is Jesus. Crazy to think about. So here are disciples of Jesus who were baptized into John's baptism, which is just a baptism of repentance into forgiveness of sin, which is a beautiful part of the gospel, but it's the entrance into the house that is the gospel. Forgiveness of sin is the entrance into so much more that the Lord has called us into. And so Paul says, all right, great. There's even more than forgiveness of sin that's available for you. That's just the beginning. Upon hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I might have cut that off. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Guys, we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. Whether you are on fire for the Lord, whether you're young, fresh in your faith, whether you've been following the Lord for, 25 years, whether your heart is burning for the Lord, or whether you're here tonight and your heart is cold and you look and be like, man, I can't remember the last time I felt the Lord's presence. All of us, all the spectrum, we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit to be filled again with His Spirit. I need to be filled again for my sake, to live holy, for the sake of my family, for the sake of our neighborhood, for the sake of our world. And so if you're here tonight and you have never been filled, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, Carly, can you come up and play? I just want you to respond to the Lord. I love just imagining that passage in Acts 8. I know we read through a few, but the people in Samaria who had received the word of God and they gave their lives to Jesus. And I just love just like imagining that they were prayed for and they received Jesus, and yet they heard that there was more. They heard that there was more, and so they sent word to Jerusalem and saying, would you please send someone to pray for us because we want to receive the Holy Spirit. And there's something about, I've heard so many stories and in my own life of pressing in, of going after, of saying, God, I know that you have more for me. I know that you want to pour out your Spirit. Jesus said that a father, he wouldn't give his son, when he asked for something, a stone or a snake. Won't the Father in heaven pour out his Spirit on those who ask even more? And so if you have never been baptized in the Spirit tonight, would you come up to the front and would you respond? There's something about taking an action. There's something about opening up our hearts when we take an action. Come up to the front and respond and ask the Lord to baptize you in the Spirit tonight. If you're here tonight and you haven't felt the Lord in a long time and you need a fresh encounter with His Spirit, come up to the front. And if you're here tonight and you're on fire for the Lord and you just want more of Him, come up to the front. I don't know if there's anybody else left. That was kind of the goal. All right? Respond to the Lord tonight, okay? Our leadership team, if we can, if the Holy Spirit's highlighting somebody, let's just walk around, let's lay hands on people, let's pray for people. But Lord, we want a fresh baptism of your Spirit, Lord. And with no hype, Lord, with no emotionalism, no anything, Lord, we want you. We want fresh power to see our world transformed to look like heaven. Lord, we want a fresh baptism of your Spirit to live holy as you have called us holy. Lord, we want to long for you more. We want to long for you more than anything else. We want fear of man to be broken off in our lives, and we want the fear of God to replace it. Lord, we want our hearts to be filled with love and with your fruits, God. And more than anything, we want more of you, Jesus. We want more of you, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. Baptize us afresh, Lord. In Jesus' name, respond to the Lord. Come to the front. Do something to respond to the Lord.